Isaac blesses Jacob, Genesis 27, 1 to 42. Isaac lived at Beersheba until he became old and blind. Because Isaac thought he would soon die, he wanted to give the birthright and his blessing to Esau. He called Esau and said, "My son, take your bow and arrow, go into the woods and hunt one more deer. Bring to me the delicious venison that you can prepare. After I have eaten, I will give you my blessing, for I shall die soon." Esau went to find a deer. How he wished he had not sold his birthright. Rebekah wanted her younger son, Jacob, to receive the birthright. When she heard Isaac tell Esau to get the venison, she said to Jacob, "I will cook the tender meat of two young goats and season the food just as Esau does. You will wear Esau's clothes and take the food to your father. He will think you are Esau." At first, Jacob was afraid his father would discover the truth and give him a curse instead of a blessing. But Rebekah urged him to obey her orders. "Let the sin be mine," she said. Isaac was surprised when Jacob brought the dish of food Rebekah had prepared. He knew Esau had not been gone long enough to kill a deer and prepare the meat. "How have you come so soon?" he asked. Jacob replied, "Your God helped me to find the deer at once." Still, Isaac wondered how it could be Esau. The voice sounded like Jacob's. Isaac said, "Come near, that I may feel you and know you are Esau." Now Rebekah had covered Jacob's hands and neck with goatskin. When blind old Isaac touched the hairy hands, he said, "These are Esau's hands." Finally, he ate the delicious meat and gave Jacob the blessing of his grandfather Abraham. After Jacob had gone away, Esau came. "Rise up, my father, and eat of my venison," he said. "Then give me your blessing." "Who are you?" exclaimed Isaac. Esau replied, "I am your son, Esau." The old man trembled. "Someone has come in your stead," he told Esau, "and to him I have given the blessing." Esau knew at once that Jacob had received a blessing. He wept bitterly. "Have you not one blessing for me also?" he pleaded. Isaac was deeply troubled. "How can I bless you after I have given the best of everything to your brother?" Still, Esau pleaded for a blessing. Finally, Isaac blessed him too, with a lesser promise of greatness. Now Esau hated his brother. "Soon our father will die," he thought. "Then I shall kill Jacob and take everything that has been given him."
Good morning. Well, we're so glad that you're here on a holiday weekend and that we get to celebrate Jesus. So the youth know that I'm just a straight-to-the-point person, so I'll just break the ice and say, today I'm socially awkward. I think I shook somebody's elbow this morning. And I think we all have those days, but I think it's because I want to do a good job for my boss, who's God the Father, right? And I want to do a good job for my heavenly boss, Pastor Greg, as well. What? Your earthly boss? Yeah, see, I told you I was socially awkward. So here we go. This might come out in the sermon today, so maybe we'll have some laughs together, because that's okay. But at any rate, as our children come up, so children, if you can come on up here, you can just have a seat here with me. Yeah, so as they come up, you know, as we talk today about this blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob, yeah, come on up and just have a seat here. Yeah, great. As you can see, today is Children's Serve Day, and so our children have been serving in the ushers and the worship and all kinds of things, so we've enjoyed them, and so I thought it might be really appropriate for us to kind of insert a little children's sermon in this, and Zeke's going to help me with this children's sermon, so can he use the microphone for that? It might be helpful. So, you know, as we think about this, We see that if you walked in today, you saw that there was some work done on the barn, right? We're excited about that. And that work is accomplished after like a year of lessons and a year of challenges. And now we're finally starting that work. And so some of our college students and some of our students that have been here in the past, you know, they laid the groundwork for that barn and they had some vision and they passed that vision on to our youth that are here today. And, you know, as we work on the barn, now our youth today are going to be able to use that barn. And eventually they're going to pass that on to you guys. And you're going to get to use the barn. Yay! We're all excited, right? And this helps to model a little bit about what we're going to talk about with God's covenant today. And so, Zeke, can you describe what a covenant is?
It's like a promise that can't be broken.
Yeah, it's a promise that can't be broken. And, you know, I'm going to ask if you'll make a covenant with me today. Okay, so I have some cookies. Do you like cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're chocolate chip cookies. Do you guys like cookies? Yeah. Yeah. So how about if we make a covenant that if you eat these cookies, you won't be mad at me if you get sick? Do you want to sign here and say that you agree to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Zeke. Okay, so that would be an example of a covenant. Now, in this covenant, you see that Zeke gets to eat the cookies, and you too. And then in return, Zeke won't be mad at me if he gets sick. Okay, win-win, right? We're both covered. This is good. This is a good agreement. Okay, do you want a cookie?
Yeah.
Even after that covenant?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to hand you this. Just hold on to it for a minute. Can you hold on to that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So these cookies are going to represent God's blessings of his covenant. All right. So God's promise to us. And these cookies, do you guys like cookies, right? And so cookies are good. So it represents the blessings that God's covenant has for us. Does that make sense? All right. And so as we look at these cookies, we also see that not only do we get to eat the cookie of the covenant, this blessing, but we also have a responsibility in the relationship that we have with God. So, what do you think you should do with all those cookies?
Share it with everybody.
Yeah, you should share it with all of your friends, right? They're smiling. They agree.
You get a cookie. You get a cookie. You get a cookie.
Everybody gets a cookie. All right? And so in this covenant that God gives us and the blessings we get, we have a responsibility to care for that and to share it. So we should share Jesus with others. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. Now, I have another question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about carrots?
They're definitely not as good as cookies.
No? So the carrots represent the hard work, the discipline, and the obedience. And sometimes we don't want to do that part of it, do we? Sometimes that's the hard work. But Zeke, why shouldn't you eat that whole tub of cookies?
Because everybody needs to have a cookie, and sometimes people will be mad if they don't get a cookie.
Okay, all right. Do you think you'll feel very good after you eat all those cookies at once?
No.
You'll probably have a stomach ache.
Yeah.
So, but what's good about carrots?
They're healthy.
They're healthy, right? They have vitamins and minerals in them that help your body to be strong and effective and to do all the work that you need to do. And so we need to eat our carrots. We need to have obedience and self-discipline, and we get God's blessings. So this is how the covenant works both ways. You liking those cookies? And the carrots, right? Zeke said he can take the carrots home and cook them. He likes carrots that way. What about you guys? Do you like carrots? You like carrots? Yeah? How do you like to eat them? Do you just eat them like this? Yeah. Eat them raw? Good. So, I want you to think about this, and I want you to remember, God's blessings, represented by the cookie, require our obedience and our hard work. All right? So last week we saw that when Abraham handed down the covenant, the blessing to Isaac, we saw that it wasn't because of what Isaac did, it was what his father did. It was Abraham's obedience and his righteousness that ended up bringing that covenant to his son Isaac. And so it's important for us to recognize that when we're obedient, God blesses us and our children. And when we disobey God, he does not bless us or our children. And this is the same for us today, right? If we choose to obey God and follow him, then that is something that we pass down to our children. So, your reminder is, we want God's blessing in his covenant, and we need to obey and do the hard work and have the discipline. And our reminder is that we have to be willing to make the commitment to be obedient to Jesus, not just for us, but for our children, for the generations that we're going to pass it down to. All right, so do you all want to grab a carrot or a cookie? A carrot? All right, come grab a cookie if you want a cookie. All right, and then Abby, you can come on up. So you guys can go either to class or you can go back and sit with your family. So, and Megan, will you just walk them back to class for us? Thanks. All right. So as they head back to either their parents or to class, will you give the microphone to Pastor Greg? Oh, actually, here, Zeke, we'll give it to Abby.
Genesis 27, verses 1 through 40. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me a delicious soup such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and to bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats, so that I may prepare from them the delicious food that your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice, go, bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's, so he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near me and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is a smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of fatness of earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished the blessing to Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted the game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came and have blessed him. Yes, he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, he has now taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered him and also said, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck.
Thank you, Abby. So we have the blessing of being able to look at this account through a children's storybook, but we also need to go to scripture and read that. And so as we look at Genesis 27, there are definitely some lessons that we can understand and learn from it. So I'm going to give you an outline of where we're headed today, because there's a couple main points that I really want to make sure come through and are really clear. As we look at how Isaac is passing this blessing to Jacob and the dysfunction that's in this family and how this occurs, we have to kind of search out what the idea of firstborn means. So we've talked about this a little bit in the lessons before and looking at Abraham and Isaac and each of these places where God is handing his covenant down and his blessing down to the next generation. And so we're going to look at what the firstborn is and what that means, and then we're going to connect that to the covenant. And so how do we inherit the covenant as the firstborn? And as we look at that, we'll take some lessons from this family, and finally, we'll wrap it all up by looking at how Jesus is the firstborn and Jesus is the new covenant, and that when God's covenant is passed down from generation to generation, we need to treasure it, all right? So God's covenant is passed down from generation to generation into us, and we need to treasure his covenant. So we want to walk away with a new heart to treasure his covenant. Now, I know that, you know, in many ways we're doing that now, but as God reveals his word to us, we have a renewal and a regeneration and a desire that is even greater to follow his covenant. So let's talk a little bit about this idea of the firstborn. So in tradition, so man's tradition in this time of the Bible, it is the idea that the firstborn male gets the inheritance, and that inheritance is a double portion. So this is a big deal, and this is partly why Jacob and Rebecca push to get that inheritance from Esau, who was technically the firstborn. And when we look at this, if we go to Genesis 49, verse 3, we see a little description of the firstborn. And this is Jacob talking to Reuben, his firstborn son. Now, the story doesn't end here, but we're going to use these scriptures to get a description of what the firstborn is in man's tradition. So it says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. And so we see that man's perception of this firstborn is that it's power and prestige and strength and vitality. We see that God talks to this in Exodus 13:2. God says, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and beast is mine. And so God is setting apart that firstborn. And so we see that the firstborn represents the prime of human strength and vitality. It is the primary heir to the family as well as the birthright. There's a double portion here, and that portion is the household estate as well as the leadership of the family. So when the father passes, or the father can no longer fulfill his roles because of health issues or whatever it might be, that first son steps up and he cares for the family. He cares for the mother and he cares for the unwed sisters. And so in this, not only do they get a double portion in an inheritance, they also get a responsibility that comes with that. We also see that God calls Israel the firstborn. And so this demonstrates that God has set apart Israel from the other nations. In Exodus 4:22, it says, then tell Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. You know, there were lots of nations before Israel. But what this shows to us is that there's a prominence, a title, a position, a relationship, a being set apart so that this people, the Israelite nation, is in close proximity to God. That there's a special relationship there and a special blessing that goes with that. And so we see man's tradition is that the firstborn gets a double portion. But we see, however, in God's plan that the covenant doesn't always transfer to the firstborn, but instead it's about a relationship with God. So if we go back and take a look, we see that Abraham's blessing was transferred to Isaac. Again, not what Isaac did, but a result of Abraham's faithfulness and obedience. Isaac wasn't the firstborn. His son Ishmael was the firstborn. And we also see that Isaac was tricked into giving the blessing to Jacob. Well, Esau was the firstborn, not Jacob. And then as we go down the line, we see that as Jacob grows and he's ready to transfer the blessing and pass that on, it doesn't go to his firstborn Reuben, doesn't go to the second or even the third. It actually goes to Joseph, who is one of the later brothers. And that's because of the sin of the first brothers. So we see that there is this passing of the covenant from one generation to the next, but it's not necessarily being firstborn in time. It's about the relationship with God. Now, God revealed to Rebekah that Jacob and Esau would become nations and that the older would serve the younger. So we have a prophecy that Rebekah knew that Jacob would be served by Esau. Now, God had a plan for this, but Rebekah, knowing this, decided she would take the responsibility of the plan, and the way she did this was through deception. So we're going to take a look at that as we look at each one of the roles of this family. Again, God has a plan. And when we start to take things into our own hands, we start to detract and get distracted from God's plan. You know, we see later on that God could have done this without deception, pretending, or lies. Later on, Jacob, he's grown now, and he's passed this blessing to Joseph, and he's now on his deathbed, and he goes to bless his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the interesting thing here is, as he goes to bless them, he switches. Now, he has the kids in front of him, and he has his hands on them, and he switches them to give the blessings. And that's because God told him to do that. And so when he did that, he elevated the younger one above the older one. And so certainly God has a plan in this. But Rebecca, because she tried to take it into her control, chose to add deception and lies to that. I think for me, that speaks to me because, as many of you know, I like control of things. And so when I try to work to control, I need to learn to trust and allow God to move. So I think that's a lesson. Again, God's covenant is passed down from generation to generation to us, and we need to treasure that covenant. All right, so let's just talk a moment about the covenant. Zeke had a great description of a covenant. And so I'm just going to go to the dictionary definition. It's a solemn binding agreement or a formal arrangement between God and humanity. And it characterizes promises, oaths, and commitments. What is good about a covenant is it establishes relationships. It provides expectations. And it provides a foundation for how God relates to his people. We have lots of examples of covenants in the Bible. One is the rainbow that was put in the sky after the flood that reminds us that God has promised, he's made a covenant not to destroy the earth again. But it's also a reminder that God judges. And there's a responsibility that we have so that when one day we stand in front of God, we have a good judgment. All right, so let's look at this covenant that's coming from Abraham to Isaac and then from Isaac to Jacob. And that covenant was that God would count righteousness to Abraham, not because of what Abraham does, but Abraham shows he is faithful and obedient. And so the covenant he says to Abraham is, I'm going to make your offspring a nation. They're going to inherit the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. But this is a process. It's going to involve slavery in 400 years. And so there's this covenant and this need for Abraham to be obedient. And as Pastor Greg has taught us in the lessons before, at any point if Abraham would have decided not to obey, God's plan would still flourish, but it might look different. And so we are thankful for Abraham's example of obedience to us. Because of Abraham's obedience, God established this oath, and that was passed on to Isaac. So our faith and our obedience matter to us, our children, and generations beyond. In fact, Abraham's choices have impacted us today. All right, so let's look at this family. So we have Isaac, who is the patriarch of the family. He's affluent. He's aged. He's relying on his senses more than he's relying on his walk with God, right? And the deception comes because he's relying on hearing the voice of Esau, touching and feeling his hairy arms, and his sight is bad, so that adds to the deception. And so, you know, we see that while Isaac is himself trying to take control of the blessing, because he says, I'm about to die. Let me pass this blessing on to my favorite, to Esau. And he does this without speaking or including Rebekah or Jacob. In his mind, his death was near, but he lives for another 50 years. And so, again, as we're often reminded, if you're not dead, you're not done. We also see this partiality of both of these parents. They're partial for Isaac, for Esau, and Rebekah loves Jacob more. And that favoritism clouds their judgment. It keeps them from following the commands of God. So our question to us, ourselves, is how is favoritism preventing us? How is it clouding our judgment? Are we only helping certain people? Are we only following our way of doing things? How are the things that we favor impacting our walk and how we treasure the covenant of God? We also see that appetite drives Isaac. He wants Esau to bring him a meal, which is not tradition, in order to get this blessing. Now, we're often driven by food, right? What will we do for a good pizza? We'll drive far for a good pizza, or a meal, or a certain time of eating together. And so, again, what we can ask ourselves as we treasure the covenant of God, what distractions, what appetites drive our behavior rather than doing what God tells us to do? Now, Rebekah, she overhears this conversation between Isaac and Esau, and she manipulates her son Jacob because he's her favorite, and she alters what she tells Jacob. So she takes what she hears from Isaac, and she alters that and changes it. So, like, for example, she conveniently leaves out that Isaac tells Esau to go get his weapons, right? So I think that if I were Jacob and I heard my brother was going to be armed and dangerous, I might think twice about stealing his blessing, right? So she changes the message enough to manipulate it. In that, she also asks Jacob to be deceptive. And that leads to additional lies and deception. Now, whether Rebekah did this because she believed the promise that the younger would, or the older would serve the younger, and she knew the prophecy of God, I don't know her motives. But we do know that when we don't wait for God's plan, bad things happen. And so in this case, that deception and lies that came into the family didn't have to occur, but because she tried to take it into control, it did. Now let's look at Esau. Esau is a character that has made choices all along that have pulled him away from God. Esau despised his birthright. In Hebrews 12, 15 to 17, it says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." This is serious. This is a point where in the promise, he rejected it, and he did not have an opportunity to repent. Often in the church, we talk about God's love, which is very true. And we talk all the time about repentance and forgiveness. But this is serious. Like, we need to repent and ask for forgiveness and not just depend on God to constantly forgive us and allow us to continue in our behaviors. There is a point at which we can come and ask with tears, and it still won't be granted because of the choices that we've made. We need to take this covenant and treasure it and how serious it truly is. So, it's interesting to me that at this point in time, Isaac's about 130 years old. He lives 50 more years, and so he lives till he's about 180. And we also see that Jacob and Esau are twins, so they're the same age, right? And they're about 77 years old. So I always thought in my mind that they were really young and, you know, oh, they're just making, you know, dumb young decisions. But Jacob's 77. At this point in his life, I would think he should be able to say, Mom, I don't follow you. I follow God. You know, at what point are we taking responsibility for our own behaviors and decisions and the choices that we make so that we can treasure that covenant with God? We also see that Jacob is pretending to be Esau. He's pretending to be somebody he's not. And that hits home hard too. We often are pretending. We make these Facebook or Instagram posts or Snapchat, and it's all the good stuff, right? We're pretending that our lives are perfect, that we have this great trip or this great meal or whatever it might be. And we have to ask ourselves, who are we pretending to be? What are we trying to conform to so that we'll be loved? Because the reality is we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to pretend that we don't have to get it right all the time, that God loves us right where we're at. He loves you right now where you're at. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to get better, because he does. The whole point of this is for him to show us how we can become more and more like him. So it's not okay for us to stay where we're at, but he loves us right where we're at, and he continues to grow us. And we see that in all of this family dynamics, that God has a plan. And despite the dysfunction and personalities and the thing choices that are made, we see that God produces the world's religious leaders out of this family. That is incredible. Through his plan, he sent his son to pay the price for our sin and regenerate us in the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus every day. Again, God's covenant is passed down from generation to generation to us, and we need to treasure his covenant. All right, so let's look at the missing pieces, or kind of the trajectory from the covenant with Isaac to Jacob to us. How does that work? Well, in Genesis 17:3, we see that the promise that God made Abraham is that God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you." In other words, kings came out of this covenant. And who's that king? It's King Jesus. Jesus came as a result of this lineage. And as a result of that, we have an everlasting covenant with God our Father. This is the new covenant. All right, so Jesus is the new covenant. Well, this relates as Jesus is the firstborn. So we started by talking about Jesus as the firstborn. All right, the Old Testament idea of the firstborn points directly to Jesus. Jesus is the Son of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over creation. Colossians 1:15 tells us this. And this tells us that he's preeminent over all creation, that he's the head of the church, and that it's not because he was created, because Jesus has been there in eternity from the beginning along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But this firstborn points to Jesus as supreme and as the sovereignty of God. So, as the firstborn over creation, Jesus is the heir of all things. So as we kind of wrap this up and look at this new covenant that God gave us, we also see that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. In other words, that in Revelations 1:5, it tells us that from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. He conquered death and sin and rose to eternal life so that we could have a relationship with him. That is the gospel message. So there's a responsibility that we have in the covenant. We've talked about what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us. But we also have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to believe it, to trust in the message of Jesus, to declare that you'll follow him, be baptized, and repent, and keep working to be obedient. In order to be obedient, we have to know God's word. We have to daily choose to trust God in his plan, not get sidetracked, not get distracted, not have that appetite of that meal to distract us, but to truly follow his principles. And sometimes that's being uncomfortable, and that uncomfortableness helps us to trust more. To honor God's covenant, we have to treasure his covenant. We have to treasure it, to not take it for granted, and to understand that he had a plan to reconcile us, and that he worked with real people and real problems through his sovereignty to do this. And while today's story was based on Isaac giving that blessing down to Jacob, that's one piece of the puzzle. We today have the new covenant that we can hold fast to Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin so we could be reconciled to God. Again, God's covenant is passed down from generation to generation to us, and we need to treasure his covenant. So cookies and carrots. The cookies and carrots remind us of the blessings of God's covenant and the obedience and hard work that God requires in this binding agreement. So our question, how can you treasure it? And how can you share it?
Alrighty, if you guys would please stand, we'll sing one closing song here, and then I believe Pastor Greg's going to close us. So. Never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, well, I will sing of the goodness of God. Like no other, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. My life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. As you will goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Hey, would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reminder of the beauty and power of your covenant, of this promise that we learn about thousands of years ago has stretched into our present time through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for these words of encouragement to treasure this beautiful and fulfilling covenant and promise. Lord, help us to be the people that treasure that covenant. Treasure the King who makes it possible. We thank you for your Son who died for us and lives for us still. We thank you for your Spirit who leads us, reminding us of your word. And Father, we thank you for your sovereign plan, a plan so detailed that you choose the firstborn. You choose the covenant. As you've chosen each of us, we pray that we would seek to live out our lives in obedience. Obedience to you who has called us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all his people said, amen. God bless you. Go in his peace.